God is going to manifest the fruit of the Spirit that is embedded in you, including the fruit, is inside. And the source of the fruit of the Spirit and also the gifts of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit in us. Say with me, the Holy Spirit is in us. So the Holy Spirit is in us, is the source of the Galatians 5:22. And including the fruit, gifts of the Spirit, it is inside us. It is all there. And my... since it's there, don't give it away. Don't let the devil take it away.
Amen. Yeah.
Even the devil when you take his, get your permission. I want you to get this revelation. Nothing will be taken away if you don't give it. If you don't give it to circumstances, you don't give it to whatever, the work of the flesh. Don't let the devil steal your love, your joy, your peace. It's all inside us. Say, don't let the devil take it away. At the same time, it's going to begin with love and love. And from the series of teachings that we have in Songs of Solomon, God is a God with emotions. Now this, so far we know God of love, joy, we knew everything, but now God is saying he's a romantic God. And the climax of this is now going beyond eternity. The church is now getting a paradigm shift of bridal paradigm shift. That means beyond, when you get to heaven, do you know you're going to get married? You didn't know that, didn't you? It's now the bride of Christ. Preparation for wedding. We're going to hear wedding bells. And God is preparing. What God is telling us, you know, the seven longings of a human heart, one of the things, God made us, he loves us, he enjoys us. He gave you salvation, he enjoys us. He's fascinated with you, and he's pleased with you. Even though you are dark, but he says you are loved. Many of us is because of immaturity, just means rebellion. Hello?
Yes.
It's a time to love. God is increasing. And there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit began last year. And in this outpouring, based on 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, is the ingredient. God is pouring out his love. See, God is pouring out his Spirit. And the first thing that... Let me finish this. Thank you for the excitement. God is pouring out his love. And it's an individual. Sorry. God is pouring out his Spirit upon each one of us. You will be affected. If you are right before God and you say, God, I want you more, that Spirit of God will move. And number one, he gives you grace. Say with me, grace.
Grace,
the power to live and the power to do unmerited favor. That grace will take you to the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God from the Father is going to come. And the Holy Spirit is going to take communion to take into, to reveal God himself. And we know from the nature of God in our foundation series, God is a spirit. In other words, God will take you into the heavenly realm. Let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's going to take you into the heavenly realm to show his love. God is love. Say God is love. God is spirit. Say with me, God is spirit.
God is spirit.
God is light.
God is light.
God is love. And God is a consuming fire. This four dimensions is going to be revealed this year.
Amen.
Greater and greater. Not only the love of God, the fear of God. And you will see the heart of God you have. The theme is intimacy. Intimacy. And this is what is going to happen. At the same time, let me give you, look at the world at the broader sense. Okay? Broader sense, say with me. Broader sense. Matthew chapter 24 tells us that we are in a season, a generation of the that will see Jesus Christ coming back again. Matthew chapter 24. Jesus warned. Number one, the first thing that will happen is don't be deceived. There's going to be a time of deception. There's going to come. And if you're not properly grounded with the word of God, you can be deceived. And the greatest deception is self-deception.
Yeah.
Did you not know this? There is sinful deception. Man can deceive you. False doctrine can deceive you. But most important is self-deception. If you're so strong in your opinion, you can be deceived. And so may God give us the spirit of discerning of spirit. And this, in this time, there is going to be a time in Isaiah 60. Light has come, at the same time, darkness come. Everything in this world is dark. Say with me, dark.
Dark.
And that tension is going to get on and on and on until it comes. So the world is not going to be a very safe place. It's not going to be a comfortable place. It's going to be tension and tension. But at the same time, in the Church of Jesus Christ, revival has come.
Amen.
Light has come. The light and the glory of God is coming. So you can see the contrast anymore. The two things, what's happening, the body of Christ and in darkness. And the best place to be is in the house of God, gateway to heaven. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes, yeah. Amen.
Prophet Bob Jones, another prophet, you know, before he died, made this in 2014, I think, 2013 or 14, he said, he saw in a vision that the devil has sent certain viruses to attack the people, especially the body of Christ. And so what is this called? It calls for safety. Say with me, safety.
Safety.
You can be safe in the blood of Jesus. You can be safe as a part of the body of Christ. Local church. That is why we do an emphasis. Coming under a local church, which becomes a part of the body of Christ, gives you safety, because apart from it, there's death, deception, false angels, false deception are all taking place. Your safety is in the body of Christ and in the local church. It's a principle, not only for a church, a true local church. You've got to be under it so that you will not be affected. I've been in the ministry for quite a while, and we know people who quarrel with us and left and all. And I've seen tragedy taking place. And I do not want to make anything big part of it, but I would say it's dangerous. You love Jesus. Whenever you talk about the church, evangel is Jesus. It has to do with Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You hurt the body by talking back, it's also hurting Jesus. I will stop with that. But this is what's happening. We got to be alert and be close to one another, and love will mend us. Amen.
Amen.
In every service, when we get together, we got to have a revelation. Say with me, revelation.
Revelation.
Knowledge.
Knowledge.
Prophecy.
Prophecy.
And teaching or doctrine. It should take place. Four dimensions should take place in the spirit realm. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6. God is going to bring revelation. That means it's just from the word of God, God gives you revelation. And then he gives you knowledge. He gives you a prophetic dimension. You need teaching or doctrine. These four things have to run into our lives to be balanced. This morning, I just want to say some. Lisa put the first Mark chapter 11, verse 25 to 26. This is a word for you and for me. We are no more an island. We are no man is an island. When we come to one another, we step on one another's faith, we get hurt, we get offended. Jesus said, no one can, no one is immune from offenses. Say offenses.
Offenses.
But how you respond or react is what is going to take place in your life. Can you read this First Corinthians, Mark chapter
11
verse
25 and 26.
Can you verbalize his verse?
And
whatever you said, praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses.
One of the things that the Lord is telling us very clearly, when you're offended, you take the first step to forgive, because God has made every provision for forgiveness and cleansing and everything through Jesus Christ. Now, when you come to pray, if you don't forgive anyone, your prayers are not heard. It's dangerous. And the call for us is to be to forgive. Say forgive.
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 Now you can say you can be hurt, you can be offended, I'm talking, I'm not coming to anybody, just giving the word of God. You got to forgive at once. Now, mentally, you got to say, how can I forgive? Okay? Because some of us have wrong concept of myth of the power of forgiveness. Myth. Number one is myth number one, okay? Lisa just right. I need to forgive. I need to forget in order to forgive. That's the first thing people say. If someone hurt me, if I want to forgive, I need to forget in order to forgive. And that is, I seen from the body of Christ, a normal excuse. But the matter is, God made it such a way, if you forget everything, then you have no brains. Our mind is meant to be like the monitor, information coming in. You remember everything. Everything you remember. Past, present, future, and some got great memory of the past. You can call back and everything. Okay. The point is, our brain is, we cannot forget. So now what's the answer is? The answer is in this. We got two type of memory. Say with me, emotional memory.
Emotional memory.
And another one is historical memory.
Historical memory.
Okay, emotional memory, if a person hurts you or any hurt or anybody offends, whenever you think of the person, pain, you feel pain, you feel uncomfortable. That is emotional memory. Historical memory is you can't go through a process where you think about the person or the incident and think it doesn't affect you. Are you with me? Mm. Say historical.
Historical.
Memory.
Okay. In order to move from emotional to historical is this word. I forgive you. Forgiveness. When you say, Lord, I forgive the person, you tell yourself and make reconciliation, I forgive you. That emotion and the pain will go after a process of time. Then you'll have historical memory. And you'll have this historical memory to the rest of your life, but it doesn't hurt you. I need to forget it's wrong.
I need to forget it's wrong.
Okay, the next one. The next one is, I need to understand in order to forget. Have you heard this? Oh, I heard this. Pastor Ludwig hurt me. I need to understand what is happening in his background. Okay? This is another niche. Let me give you the truth is, no one will understand. Some of the things that is moving in him can be demonic. Some of the attacks and the words in it could be demonic. I'm not meaning that. I didn't really preach the word. You can never understand. Some of the things that are happening in the person's life is called mysteries of iniquity. Say with me, mysteries of iniquity. So you can never understand. If you are the other person, no. You say, I simply forget. I forgive. I simply forgive. Say, I simply forgive.
I simply forgive.
You will see the power of God moving you. There's many other myths, but I just want to let you know that these are two enough for you. Forgive. Say with me, forgive.
Forgive.
If you want to go on with God, forgive. 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 Life is like this. When you come over to this room and you trip and fall there, the first reaction you do is wake up and walk again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes.
A simple illustration. But spiritually, many of you are still there. Still in the legislature, everything's closed, but what you're still there. Wake up!
Yeah.
Brush yourself and walk on. The blood of Jesus is strong.
Amen.
The grace of God is greater than the sins.
Mm.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Learn to forgive.
Yeah.
Say, learn to forgive.
Power
in forgiveness.
Power.
Amen. Power in forgiveness. So this is a message. Learn to forgive. If anyone offended you, learn to forgive. Today, say, I want to settle this issue. Could be your father, could be your mother, could be your siblings, your friends, your pastors, teachers, anybody. Brave enough and say, I forgive and make whatever is needed. Your life will never be the same. The love of God will come in and change your life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now we speak resurrection life before we go there. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bring your people, born by the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
Lord, regardless of situation or whatever, we are made in an image of God.
Yes.
We are made to worship you. We are made to live holy.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, I cancel assignments of the enemy.
Yes.
Sicknesses, diseases, healings, every things that have happened. We break the power. It's break the power of Satan's hand and cancel the assignment.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus,
a
big resurrection. Resurrection. Be healed. Be healed. Your sacred places, lay hands. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Nothing more. That miracle to take place. That the cycle of miracle takes place. Take us to a new realm. Into the heavenly realm that we belong to. Cover your people under the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, that this year to be an increase. In revelation, in knowledge, in dimension, and even in doctrine and teaching. Lord, that has been increased. Help us, Lord, to give us a spirit of discernment that we will not be deceived. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know, Prophet Daniel said this, in the last days, how do you want to find the last days? Travel will increase, knowledge will increase. We are looking at this time, huh?
Yeah.
Travel is so easy and knowledge is so easy now. YouTube and internet has brought everything, but at the same time I want you to be very discerning that the greatest gift in the spirit will be the word of knowledge. Discerning of spirit, the word of knowledge, heavenly knowledge will come upon you. People, prophetic people can tell you, like Daniel, interpret a dream. It's already happening. And travel will increase. Some of you can be travel, literal transportation, that's called Philip's transportation. Some people we are living in a different time, times of supernatural. Just be aware. And your only authority to filter everything is the Word of God. Say the Bible.
The Bible
is the Word of God.
The Word of God.
Final authority, in my life. God has chosen to limit Himself within the six books of the Bible, and every experience must go within the 66 books, the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Father, teach us, equip us. Flow and speak to us from heaven. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Pastor Ludwig will share God's word.
Well, let's make our declaration this morning that we will
win.
Okay. I always say we believe. Okay, it's always we will win. But let's declare that we will walk and agree. Walk and agree with what God says.
Amos 3,
verse 3.
We will win because we believe what the Word of God says about who we are, what we have, and what we can do in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Amen, amen. Alright, so you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready for the next 2 hours?
Yes.
No. You know, a funny story, this is a real story. I was actually at a conference, and it was around lunchtime, and the session was coming to a sort of an end. And because people were starting to, I suppose, get a bit tired and feel tired, the service or message was long or whatever reason, right? And probably stomachs are grumbling, everyone's feeling hungry. So the preacher said, "Are you hungry?" And because it was a youth conference, so the young people were very zealous. Well, usually were. But at a particular point in time, I went like, "Yes!" And then everyone was so quiet, I was wondering, what's happening? Like, I was like, ooh, okay, yeah, that's a bit odd. And I realized he was telling us off for like, are you hungry? You want to go for lunch? And like, kind of, you know, the sarcastic manner. And I was like, and I realized I ran away and I said, For the word. Anyway, no worries. So I'm sure you're hungry for the word this morning, right?
Yeah.
I was kidding, we're not going to sit here for 2 hours. But you are hungry for the word, right?
Amen. Yeah.
All right, so I want to talk to you about this morning. We've been hearing the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We've been hearing as Pastor Joseph has just come up this morning and continuously reminding us week after week about what God is doing in this season in time. And we've been hearing particular words like the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and all the other dimensions that God has brought, the love of God and intimacy. I want to talk to you about make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So, you know, if you want to shorten that, it's simply preparation. But preparation for what? And for who? And for when? Okay, so I want to start by opening up with 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Sorry, 2 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, verse 14. Okay, remember, this is going to be the introduction, right? Okay, which goes stretched forth at least 20 minutes. So verse 14, it says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit will be with you all. Amen."
Amen.
And I'm going to pick up the boring words here. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So we've been hearing that God is pouring out His love and there's a deep dimension of intimacy that God is leading us. I want to ask a question before we start opening up some of the opening scriptures this morning is, when we talk about preparation, what are you and I preparing for? Right? Okay, just in passing, there are many things we could be preparing for. We may be getting ready for hospitality lunch, just in a moment. We might be preparing for something else. Your work, whatnot. But there's so many things we're preparing for. What are we preparing for? What is God? What does it mean when John the Baptist was to make ready a people for the Lord? Anyway, let's go to Mark chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. We're going to read some scriptures first. It says this, Mark chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" Okay, make his path straight. Now, how many of you know that this is speaking of John the Baptist? He was the one crying out in the wilderness. Is that right? Do you remember that? How he prepared the way and basically he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Is that right?
Yes.
Are you with me so far, right? So we don't need to go too deep. Yeah. I want to connect this with Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 to 6. Now, there's a lot that needs to be unpacked from the scripture, but for the purpose of today, we will only touch what needs to be touched, okay? Alright? So, from verse 5, it says, "Behold, I will send you, Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest they come and strike the earth with a curse." Now, what I want you to see here is, when is this going to happen? Alright? Okay, we talk about Elijah. Like I said, there's a lot of things to unpack here. But when John the Baptist came, he came in the spirit and power of Elijah. When the people asked Jesus, or were they asking, you know, when the prophet says Elijah is to come, Jesus said Elijah had already come. But he was speaking of John the Baptist, who would come in the power and the spirit of Elijah. Not literal Elijah, right? But there will be a literal Elijah. He will return. And we find that in the book of Revelation. But also, this scripture does not just refer to John the Baptist at one point in time. I believe it is a prophetic scripture that speaks of the end time church, the last day church. And it says here, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. When is that day? That is referring to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, if you read the book of Acts, it says, you know, the moon would turn, you know, the into blood and all these things, and the sky would turn black, dark, and all these things. But before the great day of coming of the Lord, the great and dreadful day of the Lord, something will happen. Number one is the key thing that I want to really highlight, the whole message is going to hold on that verse here. The hearts of the fathers, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Okay, I want to, let's put a bit more context there. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 13 to 17. I would just need to just read a few scriptures here, and then we're there. It says here, in verse 13 of chapter 1, Luke, "But the angel said to him," okay, this is the angel Gabriel appearing to Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, right? They're all in age. "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." Look at verse 16. "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Okay, so I hope you're connecting the dots here. But this John the Baptist came to do that. But I believe that he's more than just John the Baptist. There is an end time church today referring to a group of people. Right, just like John the Baptist, well, not John the Baptist, but like John the Baptist came in the power and the spirit of Elijah, which is the Holy Spirit, by the way, the same man of the church is going to come in that same power to cry in the wilderness and make way to prepare a people ready for the Lord. Okay, alright, are you with me so far? Everybody say preparation.
Preparation.
What are we preparing for? Okay, so this is the question here. So I open up with these scriptures here. I want to also verbalize Revelation chapter 21, verse 2. I don't think I have it on the screen, but it says something there that hopefully you will start to understand what I'm referring to, because in the scripture we just read, it's not just the hearts of the fathers to the children to the fathers, but that the children of Israel will turn to the Lord, yes, their God.
Amen.
All right, so I believe that God, as we've been hearing over and over, the love of God, God is pouring His Spirit so that we would turn to, yes, the Lord God, yes, and respond to His love in a fresh and a new way,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
which we might have missed, and I will talk about it in a moment. But we read Revelation chapter 21, verse 2, it says, "Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as the bride adorned for her husband." Alright, so this is speaking of the church and Christ. So the church, the bride, the last day church, the end time church, is going to be prepared for the husband. Husband being Jesus Christ. So it's under this open heaven that God is giving to us. God is outpouring His Spirit, He's outpouring His love, and He's calling us to respond unto Him. Now, Matthew chapter 25 talks about 10 virgins. Alright? There were 5 wise virgins and there was 5 foolish virgins. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole story here. You roughly know what it's all about. By the time the bridegroom came, you know, it was time to come, what happened? The 5 wise virgins had enough oil by that time. But the other 5, who did not have enough, who didn't prepare, who didn't make provision to come with it, right at a time when they were supposed to be ready and to go in, they did not have enough oil. Okay, and so what I want to point out from this story here, is from this parable, is that what did they miss? Okay, the question again. What did they miss? And I think, you know, as I was thinking about this verse, the missing part only came when Jesus came back. Does that make sense? So they missed out when Jesus appeared. They, you know, doesn't specify any other details besides that. But any time before that, they were fast asleep, but that's for sure. But that time, you know, it wasn't like they were, you know, they didn't miss out on something else, but they missed out when Jesus appeared, and they were to be ready for that. So what I'm trying to say this morning, that the preparation leads us to the visitation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only just His second coming, but every time God wants to visit us in a powerful way, giving us a new revelation, making times of worship, in any way that God wants to receive Him or encounter Him, we are to be prepared and not miss it.
Yep.
All right, we don't want to miss it. All right, everybody say, we don't want to miss it.
We don't want to miss it.
So preparation, all right, preparation. What are we preparing for? All right, I'm slowly getting there. Okay, are you ready? So I just want to get that word preparation in our heads first, in our spirit, and ask ourselves what it is we're preparing for. Now, we've been talking about 2019 being a year of increase. Now, like I said a couple of weeks back, you know, we can expect an increase of something that's already there, right? You can't have an increase of nothing you can't have nothing and expect an increase because you end up with more of nothing. Does that make sense? So there must be something that we deposit into our lives. There must be something that we are doing. There must be the seed of the Word of God in us, not just being the people eating the bread, but we're going to pick up the seeds of the Word. All right, the Word of God must be in us, so we must prepare. What are we preparing for? If we prepare amiss, we can prepare amiss, we can miss it. Do you know what I'm saying? We can prepare and prepare, but we can be preparing for the wrong thing.
Yeah.
For example, you know, a lot of times, like, we ask ourselves, okay, Christian life, what is the Christian life? Okay, the Christian life, okay, we'll be born again, get married, get some children, have a good career, have a happy life. And when time goes, just be happy and go home. And we are, I think most of us are happy to just have that. So all our preparation is to prepare for that. When we don't realize that, maybe I'm speaking myself here, but we don't realize here, there is something greater than just preparing for, is that all? So we are content for the normal Christian life. And we thought that we were preparing for the big feast. If we don't know what we're preparing for, then we prepare amiss. I remember, now this is very silly, you all know I used to play tennis. And I was going, what was that? I went to Melbourne. Melbourne, yeah. And yeah, Melbourne it was. And I was going there to play some tennis tournaments, all right? And now, how many of you know that tennis, there's different surfaces, right? You can play on clay court, you can play on grass court, you can play on hard court, it can be indoor, it can be outdoor. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right, Australian Open is coming up, so you should get a little bit excited about that, right? Trying to relate the two, not really. But see, I went there, and when I arrived to the place, to the venue, I was shocked. Because I was expecting to play on hard court, and the courts were clay courts. So all of my preparation, all of my mental state was like hard court. And just imagine the shock on my face when I saw clay court. Because clay court is a different game altogether. It's a different game.
Yep.
It's longer, it's more tiring, you slip and you get dirty, right? It's true, you do. And I was not ready for it. Not prepared for it. So if I don't know what the end of it is, what am I preparing for? I miss the whole preparation. Does that make sense? So if we don't know the end of it, then we ask ourselves, what is it that we're preparing for? There's a reason, because if we don't know what we're preparing for, then we prepare what we think is right in our own eyes, and we make our preparation, but then what ends up happening is we build on the temporal rather than the eternal things. Does that make sense? Alright, I want to continue on that now. And preparation. Now, well, this is what we can do, okay? I'm not sure how we're going to do this today, but okay, but let me try. Everybody say with me, power.
Power.
It's on the screen. Purpose.
Purpose.
And the person.
The person.
All right, so what I want to say about this is, as if you're a believer here, I suppose, right? All right?
Yeah.
Right, right. So sometimes what we can do, right, what we can do is, because we're born again, we want to serve the Lord. And we want to serve the Lord, then we want to be like Paul. Alright, so turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 really quickly. I don't think it's on there, but just Ephesians chapter 2. And I think this is where sometimes we focus, but I want to bring it to something that I think the Lord has been, a very clear message the Lord has been speaking. So I don't think I'm speaking anything new today, but I'm just emphasizing on something here. In chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. And this is Paul speaking, right? Paul speaking. He says this, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given to me by the effective working of his power. So he's saying, by the grace of God, by the power of God that works in me, I became a minister. Does that make sense? Alright, so he's saying here, by the power of God. And so, what we can do is, we can emphasize on, according to the power that works in me, so I can do ministry. So that I can serve God. So that I can get busy doing things for God. That's not what Paul did, by the way. But I'm just saying, what we can emphasize is on the power that works in me, so we can do things and do things and do things. Now, I realized something. I was just thinking about the book of Ephesians. And really, how many of you know, if you read Ephesians, it says chapter 1 and then therefore, and then chapter 3, for this reason, then chapter 4, therefore, and then chapter 5. And so it's kind of saying, whatever I'm saying is a built up on what I've said previously. Just like when the preacher said, okay, now my last point. And then he says, now my last point. And then my last point. Okay? Okay, so sometimes we thought, when we saw therefore in chapter 2, we thought Paul was going to finish the letter. And then he goes on to another therefore. And then he goes on to another therefore. Okay, my point is this. Alright, there's a flow in the book of Ephesians, right? There's something that struck me, others, P's, three P's. Alright? So we can focus on the power, but the power has a purpose.
Yep.
Alright, so we find that in Ephesians chapter 1, where it says that he does according, he predestined us according to the purpose of himself, who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So the power has purpose.
Yeah.
And the purpose points to the person.
Yep.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Alright, and it hit me, because I begin to think to myself, love God. And Ephesians chapter 4 came to mind when he says, "You, the church, the body of Christ, you are to edify yourself and to grow in love." And I said, okay, grow in love. What does it mean to, see, I've been trying to practice what I've been learning. I said, grow in love. But what kind of love? I mean, like, we all talk about this love. Then I realized, I felt the impression, go back to every verse, every chapter has the word love in it. And the climax of it all is the love between Christ and the church, which is found in chapter 5 flowing on to chapter 6. And then he talks about the love between, you know, parents and children, all these things. But what I want to say is that sometimes in life we can focus on the power, on the works, on the things, and we miss out the purpose. We miss out the person. Alright, for example, how many of you here have been guilty of this? You prepare a big feast, you have a party at home, and you invite so many people, and you're going to cook food. And the whole time, you're busy preparing and cooking, and your guests are here, and you're busy running around the house, and you did not actually get the chance to really spend the time with the people. Rather, you were probably just running around trying to make sure everything is just spotless and perfect, right? Like the food, feel, presentation, beautiful. And so, do you know what I'm talking about here? Have you ever done that? Maybe you don't do it anymore because you're so spiritual. You've learned from, you know, you're not Martha, you're Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. Praise the Lord. But the thing is, what happens when we do that is we've missed the purpose. What was the purpose? The purpose was for to meet the people.
Yeah.
Alright? And so we missed the person and we're busy doing the work.
Yeah.
So our focus gets wrong when we are preparing for the wrong thing. So all we're doing here is preparing for the food, but the purpose of preparing the food was to meet the person so there can be a relational thing happening here. Not just, they didn't just come for the food, though some people do come for food. Like, Auntie Molly's cooking, you do definitely know I'm coming for the food. But I do, okay, it's not just for the food, please, sorry Auntie Molly, I didn't mean that. But what I'm trying to say is we miss the person rather than, and we focus on the wrong thing. Yeah. Another example is this. How many times we have guests coming, you might be the guest, or guests coming to your place, and the first thing is, and everyone's sitting down on social media, on their phone, sending messages. Now, my dad is one of those who really dislikes, like, if you're going to come and have dinner with me, the phone is not at the table.
Yeah.
All right? Sometimes, you know, legitimate. Sometimes I need to send a message. I'm not just wasting time. But yet, I understand what he's saying. I can understand what he's saying. So I do keep it a point to really try to get away from the phone because it's, you know, because we live in that sort of generation where, you know, everything is on your phone, right? But the thing is, why does he make such a point? Right? I mean, how many would like to have a party and everyone just sitting on their phone and having no interaction? We completely miss the purpose. We completely miss the people, the person, the personal relationship there. We miss it out completely because we're busy on the phone. So distractions are taking us away.
Yeah.
In the same way, what are we seeking? What are we preparing for? Because if we don't know what we're preparing for, we prepare wrongly. What I'm trying to say this morning is that I believe that God is really saying prepare so that you will turn to me. Prepare what? He's coming. I was thinking of something as well, you know, a couple of weeks or two back. You know, one of the greatest, when Jesus came the first time, all right, who missed him? The Pharisees missed him, is that right?
Yep.
The Pharisees completely missed him. They did not recognize him, or even the Sadducees, they did not recognize him as the Messiah. And they were the so-called people who had the scriptures, they knew everything. They were the interpreters of the word. They were the scribes. They were the lawyers. You know, they, all those people. They knew the word. And they taught the word. They were the teachers of the word. Yet when Jesus came, they missed it. That thought came to me. They missed the person. But they claim to have the word. They claim to know God. They claim all of these things. Yet they missed. And the warning to me was, wow, do not miss the coming of the Lord. When he appears, when he comes, do not miss it. It was the Pharisees who missed what? The appearing of Christ. So what I'm saying here, prepare. Prepare, not just, okay, sometimes what we do is we prepare. Okay, we're thinking end times, we're thinking last days. And is it wrong to have that at the back of our minds? We need to prepare for those tough, difficult days. No, absolutely not, right? But I had this, I think more than just that, prepare for what? Because we could be busy preparing for that and missing the person, yet still. Does that make sense? Because we are so engrafted in the doing that we forgot what we were preparing for. You know, I've been very involved with the children, okay, and very involved. I had to kind of almost ask my question, for what? I almost forgot. I was like, okay, well, I'm not a teacher by trade. I mean, not that I'm a teacher. I'm only assisting them in their studies, really, to be honest. But I'm like, for what? What am I doing this for? I had to almost realign my thoughts. Like, there must be a purpose. Otherwise, I'm just doing it for what, right? But when I said, oh yeah, there is a good. I mean, not that there is a good reason for it. I'm not saying there's no reason. But it just dawned on me. It was like, wow, yeah. I mean, why? Purpose. When I find that, you know, and for me personally, it's really important to realign. The camp, for example, was one of those times where you really get to realign.
Yeah.
How easy is it to go through life?
Yeah.
You go through life and in the midst of doing, now the doing may not necessarily be long. Sometimes it can take us out, but sometimes in just the midst of doing things, you get caught up in the doing and then you kind of slip the purpose. And you might even miss the person behind of what we are trying to do and achieve. So I kind of like, oh yeah, I am doing this for this reason, for that reason. So it is very important, I believe, to realign ourselves. All right, let's go back here. Preparation. Let me turn to... Okay. We're going to bring this to a landing term from in a moment. Okay, let's turn to Mark chapter 1. So what I've been saying so far is preparation. We've got to know what we're preparing for. If we don't know what we're preparing for, we prepare amiss. We prepare for the wrong thing. And we end up missing the purpose and the person. All right. So religion prevented them to receive Jesus when he came. And the Pharisees were the ones who had the key of knowledge. Not only they didn't enter, but they prevented others to enter in. Isn't that a very sobering thought here? But under this open heaven, in Mark chapter 1, as we continue on, we see how Jesus was baptized. Is that right? Jesus was baptized from verse 11. Or 9. Verse 9. Okay? I just want to quickly read this. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is the voice of the Father here, saying, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." It's the voice of the Father who is so delighted in the Son, who is so pleased with the Son. And how many of you know that we are part of Jesus? And Jesus wants to be, he is pleased and he wants to be pleased if our hearts are really true and honest before him. If we're really seeking him. Because the Bible says, we must know that he is. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I may not be, you know, I have it all and I may not be there and I can be, you know, stumbling and fumbling and all these kind of things. But if I am seeking him diligently, the Father is pleased. Alright? So he's not just pleased because I'm rebellious. He is pleased if I diligently seek him. In my weakness, in my failures, or whatever it may be. But if I have a real heart to seek after God, God says, I am pleased. And this here is, you know, I believe there's many reasons why the Father spoke there, but you know, it's affirming the Son, it's confirming, it's a witness, he's pleased and all that. There's many things. But this, you can also see that this voice of the Father here is, this is my beloved Son. This is a loving Father. He said, I am so pleased with my Son. And it's the same voice again when, you know, they were asking Jesus, you know, who do you say that I am? Jesus asked him, who do you say that I am? And the Father spoke again and says this, and what did Peter receive? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Father is constantly revealing the Son. Alright? Now, I want to emphasize here is this love for us. God is wanting us to respond to his love because this love for us caused him the expression of being so pleased with his Son. And even those who would become sons because of Jesus, he wants us to respond to his love in a fresh new way. He so much so that the Father so loved us that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so I've been challenged in many ways, and like I said, maybe in my testimony and things like that from the camp, to really, really ask myself, you know, to really start anew this intimacy with the Lord, to really know him as my Heavenly Father, to know and respond to his love. Amen?
Yeah.
So make ready a people for me. Now, my next question here is this. What is the evidence, now not the only evidence, but based on what we read this morning, what is the evidence that a people has been made ready for the Lord? Okay? And I believe Luke chapter 1, as we read. You know, it's in Luke chapter 1, and it's not the reason, only reason, but one of the things that will happen, is which is what God is doing in our midst, because we've been hearing it over and over and again in this intimacy, is that, is what? In verse 17 of chapter 1, he says, I'll read the whole verse, and I will go before him in the Spirit and, and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and to the disobedient, the wisdom of the unjust, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So I'm saying to you, to be prepared to the Lord, one of the evidence that we are a people prepared to the Lord is that we will turn to Father God, number one. That's the intimacy that we've been hearing, right? Number two is that spiritual children will turn to spiritual parents. And number three, children, natural, biological children will turn to their biological fathers and mothers, parents. Does that make sense? We live in a generation, in a society that has such a brokenness when it comes to fatherhood, motherhood, parents, and children. Do you know what we're talking about? In this Western society that we live in, it is not the strength, unfortunately. All right? It is not the strength. It is so broken. But what's going to happen is God is doing something, and I believe, you know, even for my own life, even for my own family, God has begun something. Something so that our hearts will turn to the Father. So, what am I saying here? Respond. Respond to the love of the Father. Turn to God, the Father. You know, the preparation is we want to be ready to meet the Lord. We want to be ready as the bride, so that when the bridegroom comes, the bride will be ready. The question is, are we really ready? Oh, I know I've got a lot of work to do. You know, I've received prophetic words. You know, that means that you got a long way to go. I think I have a long way to go still. Not just once, I had it twice. So that was a double confirmation. I was like, oh, okay. All right. But how many of you know that this? We've got some work to do.
Yeah.
And the Pharisees missed Jesus, right? They missed his coming. They were not prepared. And I think is when we start to turn religion, I got so convicted because I realized when I started to hear the dimension of God's love. Now we know God is love, but when I started to really see in a fresh new way, I realized my love or my understanding of God's love for me was very religious. I was like, wow. And really God had to open it up for me to see this different, you know, dimension. I was like, wow. It was so much in the head. You could preach it in and out. But to understand that his death is as strong as death, and that it, you know, his jealousy is as cruel as the grave, it was like, wow. Right? Anyway. Does that make sense? But one of the things that I must say here this morning is we need a constant revelation of who Jesus is. Because that's what Jesus is building his church on. Hopefully I'm not losing you here, right? Jesus, he, Father, is revealing a constant revelation from the Father. The Father longs to reveal. And now I'm asking God, Lord, I want to be in constant revelation, knowing who you are. Because the moment we stop knowing who God is, that's it. We're stuck here. We don't want to go forward. We are happy to stay where we're at. And I think the one of the things that we are being challenged here is don't just be content with the little bit that we have, you know. And God has shown me in the past where, you know, I thought, you know, I was learning this and, you know, Bible service. And I was, oh wow, so much Bible knowledge. Oh man, I'm good, aren't I? Right? And I realized, and then you know, and then you know, I thought that this is all there could be about God. I mean, it's like, wow, I didn't really literally say that, but in my mind, the way I operated was like, wow. I'm pretty good at the things of God already. I kind of know the Bible. I've been listening to this one, and pastors have been putting this teaching, and I've been receiving so much. And then as time goes by, and you know, there's further input, you realize, wow, I actually knew nothing. I literally knew nothing. And you realize that there's actually more. And I'm beginning to see, it's like a simple message is the love of God. We thought we knew it all. I thought I understood it. But I realized I did not know. I did not fully understand it. Not to say I didn't know understanding it to zero measure. But what I'm saying is, wow, really, something I missed. I don't know if that's, you ever feel that like that. All right. Anyway, let me bring this now. Okay, let's land. Okay. live in a constant revelation of who Jesus is and who God is, we need to constantly, one of the things we've learned is commune. Alright? Don't get caught up in the power of things or the works of all things, but remember the purpose and do not miss the person. Lastly, I want to say this. Maybe some practical things to think about this morning. Because we're talking about preparation, and we're talking more than just a preparation. Now, there are so many things we're preparing for, and if I started right now, and you know, you open up the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, there's so many things you can talk about. But I think that one of the primary things we're really dealing with is, let us turn to the Lord God, right? In such intimacy. Now, what prevents us, perhaps, or what should we look at right now in this, in our context, in this local church, perhaps right now? Okay, there are many things. Okay, but I think just for today, one. Number one, I'll give you three things. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. Let's consider our ways. The book of Haggai talks about consider your ways. Like what? Your attitude. Our ways, our lifestyle, our relationship, the works that we do. What is my attitude towards what I'm trying to achieve? I'm just trying to get the grace of God and the power of God so I can do ministry, so I can just be blessing to people so they can see how much revelation I have. You know, can I give you a real bit of a confession? You know, when I started out sharing here, you know, I always treat it with a sense of, you know, a sense of honor to be able to share here, right? And I don't want to disregard that. I never took it as a, you know, as well, just nothing. But, you know, I realize when I look back, sometimes, you know, the eagerness to be able to share your revelations, your insights, right, becomes greater than actually speaking what actually God wants to say.
Yep.
You get so full of, I'm in cloud nine, what, seven, nine, whatever cloud, and you're like, I got so much revelation. And then I realized something. The revelation is doing what in my life? Now I think twice before I want to say something, because you're like, what for I say certain things, like big revelation, and then my life is zero. Does that make sense? And that is something God had to really do. But consider our ways, our attitude. You're more interested in showing that, wow, when people hear him speak, he's got great flow of revelation. Wow, I've never seen like that. How does he do that? You get more, you know, if, I don't know, feel better about yourself. I don't know what you call that, okay? But consider your ways. Number two, obedience. Obedience from the heart. Alright, and I think, yeah, intimacy with God. And number three, build what God is building. Build the house of God. You know, we are so busy preparing for so many things in life. If you're not busy with work and you have free time, you're still busy. Do you know why you're still busy? Because some people are still busy looking at social media. You're still busy. So you're never actually free. In your so-called free time, we are busy doing things. Does that make sense? No, not you. You are holy and spiritual. Alright? So we waste time. We miss it because we are always busy, busy, and busy. And we miss it. We are so busy preparing our own thing, doing our own thing, that we miss maybe what God actually wants to do. And God had to speak through Haggai, the prophet, and say, why are you so busy building your own lives, building your own thing, while the house of God lays waste, is down in ruins? And sometimes I felt convicted, you know, sometimes I'm thinking, oh, I want to beautify my house, and I want to get this, and I'll make it look cool, you know. And I was like, hey, don't get over it. Don't get too into this. All right? You've got more important things to think about. Right? Right? But I want to ask this question here. We look at our own lives. Right? What are we building? All right? Are we just happy with just a normal, good Christian family, the status quo? What we think is good family, good Christian, good people, and that's it. I think I don't want to just stay there. I want more than that. I know God has more than that.
Amen.
I want to build what he's building, not just build what I want to build. So may this time be a time where God is turning our hearts to him first. There's a turning. We are being prepared right now. There's a preparation. When we know the end of it, that we're going to see Him, the bridegroom is coming back for the bride. We will prepare so that we will be ready when we see Him face to face. We will not miss it.
Yes.
We will not miss His coming.
Yes.
The most important thing was not what you built on earth, what all the achievements that you did, but are you ready for when I'm here, when I'm there? Wow, that's a challenge for me. Yeah? So I want to pray though that in this time, God is saying, get ready, prepare for the increase, prepare for the outpouring. Because now, and I want to declare this, that God is doing such an outpouring work that, you know, families in Australia are being healed.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
The children are turning to the fathers and the mothers, and the parents are turning to the children. There is, and you know, God is just actively pouring out His love right now so that there will be a turnaround in this society. You know, and there's going to be a turnaround even now that God is drawing us to His heart so that we will turn to Abba Father.
Yes.
So that our priority will be loving Him with all of our heart, mind, will, and strength in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And I also declare that this will be a time where the people of God, the children, spiritual children, will turn to spiritual parents.
Yes.
There will be wholesome relationships in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Get ready in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We want to prepare well in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And one of the evidences, we will see such relational turnaround so that parents and children's hearts will be turned to one another in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
We make that declaration over Australia, over the churches, over the body of Christ right now. Let the will of God be done. I pray, Lord God Almighty, by the supernatural strength, not by might, not by power, but let the revelation of the Father revealing the Son stir our hearts this morning to love You and to seek You and to stop building our own kingdom, to stop building our own thing, but right now to turn to the Lord God and to build His house. Stop building our own house. Stop building our own thing. Stop being our own empire, our own kingdom in the name of Jesus. We break that right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And let the word of God go forth this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 I want to give him an opportunity to rededicate your life. If you do not know Jesus, this is the time to come back. I know Jesus. As the personal Savior of God. Repentance from labor. Repentance from sin. Put faith in Jesus. The rest, what is the cry? God will heal us. God will heal the nation. Heal our nation. The reality of this song, there's a cry in Australia.